The Brett Chappell Show. Sports talk with Pisgah head football coach Brett Chappell and Chad Upton, voice of the Bears. Live at Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop, Highway 276 Bethel. Brought to you by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Haywood Insurance Services, plus Linen and Uniform Service, and Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. The Brett Chappell Show.
Live from the Jukebox Junction Restaurant here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chappell Show. Along with head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Good morning, Coach. Lots to talk about last night. Team went out there and played extremely well. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about before the game started was thinking about maybe avoiding a little bit of that letdown after a big, huge emotional win last week against your rival, with so many ramifications really in terms of the long term and where we want to be in November and all those kinds of things. But team went out there and took care of business and had a big night in a lot of ways.
I think the big thing that I took away from last night and last week as well, I think we're playing really well right now. I think from the beginning of the season to now, we've continued to progress throughout, and that's been really good to see. I thought our kids were pretty sharp last night on what we did offensively and defensively, and I thought that showed on the scoreboard.
When you go back and look at the day yesterday, the day the kids weren't there, how much did that change routines a little bit, and how much of an impact you think that had?
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing we did, we brought them in yesterday morning and got breakfast to them about 10 o'clock. Bojangles, donated some sausage biscuits and stuff for us, and saved more up there, helped us out with some orange juice stuff. So it was really good. The community is really starting to help us, and I guess I'm sure they always have. It's a little bit different for me. I've been used to more individual people, kids, parents, and stuff helping out.
Right.
But it's been pretty neat that all the businesses are wanting to get involved, and it's benefiting the kids. But we got those kids in about 10 o'clock, did some walkthrough stuff, and fed them breakfast, turned them back loose for lunch. Maybe for 2 hours, brought them back in at 1 o'clock, went out to Meadowbrook Elementary and read to those elementary kids yesterday, which put us back on a regular schedule because we've been doing that on every game day on Friday. So we tried to get back into that routine. Probably the biggest thing was once we got back from there, we turned around and went and ate up at the High Street Church.
Right.
And when we got back, we had a real short turnaround. I mean, we had to get taped, get dressed up, and we were trying to get gone by 5. I think we left about 5:05, 5:10 yesterday, and traffic was good. We were a little concerned about that, but it was a pretty busy day, even for us to be off. We kept the kids moving quite a bit and didn't get a chance to settle down.
You're trying to give them the opportunity not to be thinking about other things other than that routine, and that's what you're trying to do with that, isn't it?
We were. We were actually looking for something to do possibly yesterday morning, and just ended up, we just did a light walk through in a gym, and kept them there for about an hour and then turned them back loose for a little bit. The biggest thing was to get them out of bed, make sure they didn't stay up late the night before, and get up and get moving.
You mentioned that businesses have been really, really, and this interests me, businesses have been, willing to do things for you, groups have been willing to do things for you. Are they approaching you at this point and offering?
They are. Food Line fed us last week, came up and grilled for us. Actually had enough to where they fed the band as well, came up to school and cooked.
Yeah.
So all of these things have been really nice. And again, that's kind of new to me, but excited that they want to be a part of it. And, our kids benefit from this, from all the support that we get. So certainly blessed in that aspect.
What was the mood around the campus this week, not only from your football players, but also the high school in general after that big win from last week?
It was up. Obviously, the volleyball was still in the playoffs.
Right.
It was making a little bit of a run. So everybody was still kind of on a routine that we've been on. This week will change a little bit. I think basketball practice starts on Wednesday, so you'll pick up your other sport and go from there. But it was really good. I felt like the kids at school were upbeat. I'm sure your dad could probably tell you. And it's funny how this goes. Generally, if you have a pretty successful fall season to start with, school seems to go a little bit better, and it seems to be going that way for us right now.
After you looked at last week and had a chance to start thinking about and preparing and planning, anything that maybe you changed last week in terms of the routine or in terms of what you looked at in terms of practice?
The big thing for us was getting back into work on Monday and trying to put that behind us, the win, and great win that it was. I thought our kids did a really good job. They didn't bring it up. We didn't talk a whole lot about the win at Tuscola. The kids were, on past that. I think it was kind of like the Franklin game and the Irwin game. They, put it behind them, moved on, and we got ready for the next week and, hadn't talked a whole lot about them since. So, for our kids, it's a really good thing, that they're able to do that. I wished I could do that as a coach a little bit better,
but absolutely.
Kids have done a really good job rebounding from things like that.
North has had a lot of injuries, and I would imagine that makes it a little bit more difficult when you're looking at film and looking at ideas and traits and those kinds of things, because you know what you see in the first couple games, maybe you throw that out a little bit. They lost Zach Gahagan, and that's a huge deal for them. They were in their third or their first fourth string quarterback. I thought he played well, but with that in mind, but trying to prepare for a team that has changed so much over the course of the football season, does that make things a little bit more difficult for you in planning?
It made a little bit of difference for Ricky and the defensive coaches. They were having to do some different things on offense. Obviously, they were trying to get it to five, which was a good receiver that I thought our kid did a great job on last night. I heard him announce when he had a little 5-yard hitch that he broke 1,000 yards, but I don't think he had very many receptions. I can't remember no more than 2 or 3 receptions that he had.
Yeah.
11 was a good player for him, and we knew about him. The Whitaker kid caught quite a few drag routes underneath. But for the most part, I thought Ricky and those guys did a great job, other than one long run. Defensively, for them and us looking at it on our offensive side, they didn't change a whole lot than what they'd been doing the whole year. I talked to Coach Dinwiddie before the season, and I thought that was where they had gotten better. Obviously, we knew with Zach being in there, Gahagan, that the offense would go well, but defensively, I thought they were starting to really move around and fly around to the ball, which was good to see, and that was JD's first full year. He and I talked about that before the game. I said, your team's a lot different than it was last year. You got in there in the summertime and got in there late with them, and I said, I knew you'd be better just because you had a full year with them, and I thought they were. I thought, barring the injuries, those kids probably middle of the pack team in our conference.
Right.
So they're making strides as well, but again, just felt good about what our kids were doing. Didn't think we had a lag from the week before, and kids moved on, and hopefully we'll do the same this week.
We'll delve more into last night's game in just a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
October doorbusters at Hometown Hardware. Items you need at super sale prices. An Ever-Ready LED flashlight, $3.19. A gallon of Itasca bar and chain oil, $7.49. 7 1/4 inch, 24-tooth circular saw blade, $7.59. Hometown Hardware has mill keys and vehicle key fobs and now offers layaway on select items. Shop this week, Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill.
Chip. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt, Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Plus, Lennon and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, Lennon Service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Lennon and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Back live this morning with Jukebox Junction with Brett Chappell Show. Going into last night's game, Coach, I guess we can start off in both ways. I thought we did a lot of good things last night. Start offensively. You're talking about going out there and being really, really prolific. McKinley threw for well over 400 yards last night. And you'd mentioned this to me. I didn't realize this, but we'll start with him. But he had 464 yards of offense from scrimmage last night. When you factor in the runs and you factor in the catch that he had in that play that we ran that went for 40 or 50 yards or whatever it was there, but to own a school record in the most yards from scrimmage, that's something really big to say when you talk about the prolific offensive players that we've had at Pisgah in the last 10 years. So just a brilliant night for him in terms of yards, and couldn't happen to a better kid.
Oh, it was outstanding. You know, I didn't realize it. I didn't realize that he was even that close to something like that. We felt like going into the game that we could have quite a few yards passing just because of what they were going to give us on defense. You know, the one thing that you don't realize, too, we've got two receivers that are over 700 yard receptions. That's huge. And then you're looking at Trevor Johnson and Jesse Martinez are right around 300 yards apiece as well, and all of them have touchdowns. And I think I probably would have been laughed out of Canton if, you know, in my interview last year when I had sat down with the press and everything and told them that we were going to have a 2,000-yard passing quarterback by the eighth game. But, you know, I just think our coaches and our kids are taking advantage of what we have. You know, that's the big thing. Obviously, and I always like to talk about him, if we had Dustin, that changes some things for us. But because of the loss of him, you know, we've had to adapt and do some things differently. And I just think that our kids have really taken to that, and our coaches are finding a way to get the ball in our kids' hands and letting them make plays.
Talked about those receivers, too. Jesse Anderson, 13 catches for 223. Johnson, 4 catches, 37. Hunter had 7 catches for 114. Jesse Martinez, 4 for 40. And Mamp and Brown, and McKinley got his catch on that throw back to him. But, you know, golly, Jesse Anderson, 13 catches for 223. And, you know, once again, and Daddy and I have talked about this a lot, he goes and finds a way to go get the football. And I think you could say that for the entire core. They go out and find a way to go get the football, but you were able to go get behind them a little bit. And I think one of the things that we said last night that I think we got to keep saying is that McKinley, no matter what you do with him, whether you're booting him out into space or you're just dropping him back into the pocket, he just seems to have a good bit of time to throw the football. And there's got to be a lot of credit given to that offensive line for allowing us to do what we're doing offensively right now.
You know, even with the blitzes that we're getting right now, I think Lucas and Dylan that are back in the backfield with him are doing a good job picking up backers stunting, and I think the line's doing a good job as well. You know, it's neat to see McKinley has really taken ownership of what we're doing. You know, we're giving him a little bit more flexibility on some reads and some things like that. You know, one thing you don't realize, too, either, we were looking in the paper and just looking at the percentage stats from how many passes he's completed to how many we've attempted.
Right.
He's the highest in Western North Carolina. I mean, he's at like 73% right now, which is outstanding. Now, that's a tribute to not only good balls thrown, but also some receivers catching the ball. We don't drop.
No, you don't.
Very many passes. You know, McKinley puts them out there with them a chance to go get it. And I thought our receivers have done a really good job. I look back all the way to the early summer when we had all of the 7-on-7 stuff. I just think all of this stuff has benefited us right now in how we're playing.
Most of these teams just don't have enough cover guys. When you're talking about on the edge, they don't have enough cover guys to match up with four receivers that can catch a football, do they?
That's the thing that we're seeing. And, once we get into the playoffs, I'm sure we're going to run into some teams with some athletes that's going to create some problems for us, and we're going to have to do some different things. But, you know, right now, you know, we have that advantage, and we're taking advantage of it. I told McKinley earlier in the summer, I said, I've, you know, had some pretty good teams through the years with some good quarterbacks, Seth Owen, the good quarterback we had last year at East. You know, we talked about Seth quite a bit, and I said, but none of those quarterbacks I had the core that you have right now. I said, we had Stephon Hill on one side, and we had Tyler Sexton, a big tight end, but we've never had four solid receivers. And I said, you have that. And I think you're starting to see, you know, some of those benefits for him right now and some of the stats he's got, because we're pretty good out there out wide.
The interactions that those guys have with each other, maybe even off the field, I bet those have really grown tremendously over the course of the year. It's and I guess I'm saying that it looks like and it feels like those kids have a chemistry. And I know they play with each other for a long, long time, but not at this level, not with the things that you're asking them to do. The way they get along with each other goes a long way with things, too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think you look at it like a basketball term. You look at McKinley like being a point guard, and he's getting used to where his guys are going to be at. You know, I look at last night, two plays specifically, the one that Jesse threw back to McKinley. That was something Jesse called in the huddle. You know, we used our timeouts. I think we had about 13 seconds left on the clock. You know, we got the ball turned over. Jesse comes and said, "Coach, let's look at that play."
And gave you a chance to get points right there.
And got set up and threw it to us, and I aggravated McKinley. I said, if you'd been about 15 pounds heavier, you'd have probably got in the end zone. But smart play by him. He got out of bounds, you know, with 5 seconds left, I think if he'd have stayed in bounds, I don't know that we'd have got that field goal. So, you know, certainly a good play there. And then on Trevor's touchdown catch, McKinley checked the play from what we called. You know, we were looking back door to Jesse Martinez, and he changed the call to the front side where Trevor was at, and, you know, threw a good strike to him. And that was a great catch. That wasn't an easy catch for Trevor to make in the end zone. So it's fun watching them. You know, the kids are really having fun. Linemen, too. You know, those guys are coming back and getting excited when these guys are getting in the end zone. And, you know, that's good to see.
Going over and talking about the run game a little bit. Of course, you know, Dustin not being around really, as you said, changed things in terms of the dynamic and maybe what we're going to do out there. But I still think you've got three or four guys that can make things happen in different ways, whether it's pounding it or whether it's breaking one. Now, you didn't – I think that they were set on taking away that facet of our offense last night by what they did, but you still got three or four guys that can make things happen running the football. So I feel like that as we go down the road, maybe we have to do that. We'll have a chance to be able to do that.
Yeah, you know, I think so. Like I said again, we're gonna face some teams that's gonna be down the road that's gonna have quite a few athletes and create some problems for us. And I think that Lucas and Dylan are doing a good job for us. You know, eventually we'll get Vadre healthy enough and we'll get him back on the offensive side. He gives us another dimension back in the backfield as well. So, you know, I think we're continuing to progress, you know, towards where we want to be at. Obviously last night was a good win, you know, put us at 7-2 with two games to go, and hopefully we can finish out and see what kind of draw we get.
And McKinley gives you some options too in terms of running the football too. I mean, you guys were, you know, what I saw there in the first quarter particularly, I remember making a note in my head, was that, you know, there was a lot of option there, whether it's a, you know, an option where McKinley makes a decision based on who's crashing down or not, those kinds of things. But in terms of running the football, he's giving you some options too.
He is. You know, he gives you an option on what we can call, just because he's a smart kid, understands what we're looking at. You know, as I look at it, you know, last night, and we kind of reflect back on it, some of the things I think we got to get a little bit better on. I think our stop blocking out wide. I said we got to get better on that. You know, we threw some screen passes last night that we didn't hold blocks long enough.
Right.
They got up on us too quick. So we'll certainly address that this week in practice and get better at that. And, you know, it was a good win for the JVs on Thursday night as well. Those kids played well, 22-0. I think defensively on both groups, you know, we've got in a scheme that seems to fit us pretty good on both sides. And, you know, that's good to see offensively. You know, Kyle Terrell went out last night with a little bit of
injury. Yeah, talk about that if you don't mind.
Got an ankle rolled up. Ben Wright came in, filled in for him, did a great job. I think that's one luxury that you have when you're running the same system on off or on the JVs and the varsity. If you bring a kid up, it doesn't really change a lot for him. You're not asking him to do something that he doesn't know how to do because we practice the same stuff. So thought Ben did a really good job for us last night in filling in. And, you know, I think the future is good for a lot of these young JV linemen that we've got coming up with us right now.
We're talking about Kyle. I remember sitting up there thinking, oh, no, when we saw him laying down there. Our first guess was that it was a knee issue. And you know what goes through your head when you think about knees. But he went over there and watched him, you know, work with the trainers. And when we saw him exit the field at halftime, we felt a little bit better. Then he had a chance to come back in. It may have been not obviously 100%, but that's certainly not an injury that's going to play out negatively really in the long term. It doesn't appear, at least at this point.
No, I think he's going to be fine. He'll be back at practice on Monday, and we'll tape him up and see how he feels. You know, we got Hunter, you know, hurt the Tuscola week in practice. You know, they kind of kept quiet for most of the week, and he came back and had a great game against Tuscola. Very similar where this ankle injury's at. Plus, we get 3 more days, you know, to try to get him back. So I feel good about where he's at, I think, unless we've missed something or trainers have missed something, I think he'll be fine.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Healthcare reform is coming, and with it, uncertainty, because it will be different for everyone. But don't worry. Together, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina and Floyd and Susan Rogers can show you how the new rules and regulations of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, will affect you. With the exclusive online Blue Map tool, Floyd and Susan Rogers can provide answers you need to move forward in 2014. Call Haywood Insurance Services or stop in at 977 North Main in Waynesville.
And that's what the
Athletics were a big part of my life. About any sport, you name it, I played it. Too many years of wear and tear eventually caught up to me. I knew I had to see somebody to take care of the problem. Southeastern Sports Medicine was a no-brainer for me.
Southeastern Sports Medicine, providing full-service orthopedic care at 5 convenient locations and weekday walk-in injury clinics. Visit sesportsmed.com or click the banner to learn more.
Back live with the Brett Chapel Show this morning. I want to mention this before we start talking about some of the other phases of the game last night. One of the things that I noted was that you were good on first down offensively and you were really good on third down offensively. And to me, third down offense is the most underrated stat in offensive football because it keeps your team out on the field. It's the difference between going back on defense and continuing to drive. Last night, you know, and we're not talking about third and ones and twos a lot of times. These were third and eights and third and twelves that we were converting. So again, you got to give credit to those kids making it happen when they absolutely have to, when their backs are against the wall.
Yeah, I think you look at it, and if I saw the stat right, 22 first downs last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a very, very high number. Thought our kids were doing a really good job when we got put in a bind of being able to find ways to get those first downs. You know, we were doing it on the ground and passing the ball. You know, obviously the first down is very important. I can't think of many first downs that we took negative yards, maybe 4 for the game or 5, but other than that, we were getting positive yards on the first downs, and you know, that makes a difference too.
Other side of the football defensively, again, they wanted to look like they wanted to try to throw underneath, and they want to get it out of that quarterback's hands quickly. I don't feel like that they felt like they were going to have a lot of time to throw, and I think that was clear. They didn't really have a lot of time to sit back and try to pick apart, you know, especially for a third-string quarterback or whatever. Maybe he's not the kind of guy that, you know, you want making checkdowns and those kinds of things in terms of experience. But did a good job again last night with pressure. And, again, they want to try to throw it underneath of you a little bit and try to set up some things. It worked maybe a little bit there in the first quarter in terms of yardage. But beyond that, they just didn't do anything for the most part offensively. You mentioned that when you had your stats for us to look at this morning, 100 yards or so rushing the football, 100 yards throwing it. One play in terms of rushing went for 65 yards. So, you know, the rest of the time we're giving up 35 yards or whatever running it. And again, you held the team to 6 points, and you've got that average now down below double digits and the number of points that you're giving up per game leading the area. It's been a big transformation this year in terms of defense from giving up, you know, 37 to 38 points last year now to, you know, 8 or 9 points or whatever it is. What is the biggest thing in your mind that's made that change?
You know, I think the attitude of the kids has been really good. You know, the scheme that Coach Brennan and those coaches have got us in.
He called a great game, too.
He did. You know, really fits what we're doing. I think you're seeing that same success down on the JVs. I think the defense there is playing really well. It's giving our kids a chance to get out in the open field and play a little bit on that side, which is neat to see. You know, there was 3 interceptions last night. I think our defense has got 17 interceptions for the year.
Right.
Our defensive backs are playing well, but up front, our defensive line is in their face and having to make them throw up some balls that they don't really want to necessarily, and our defensive backs are going to get it. You know, I was aggravating Dylan Hannah last night. I thought he probably had a pick six.
His eyes got big, too.
But, you know, it's fun to see those kids out there having a good time, and I've always told our kids, especially our seniors, and we're winding down. We're almost in November now. Guys, you only got one more shot at this. You know, enjoy it as we go through. Try to have as much fun as you can, and you know, let's win as many ball games as we can.
We haven't talked as much about it this year in terms of special teams, but you know, I think you guys made the decision in terms of your kick coverage that not necessarily, or do we want Nathan just, you know, kicking it as deep as he can and try to get in the end zone? You're looking at those mid range. It worked out last week that you got a turnover out of that style, but teams for the most part are starting their drives at the 30 or 35 yard line. We're really working on a long field. So in terms of special teams playing, of course the place kicking game I think is good last night too. I know Nathan missed a, you know, 43 yarder or whatever in very difficult conditions, but he's been solid as well. Special teams play has been good for the most part this year and continues to give your team chances to win.
Well, I think so. I think you're exactly right in what you're saying. I think Jesse Anderson's doing a good job on his average on his punt, and I think he's over 42 yards on the average there. Nathan's doing a really good job, especially on the kickoff. kickoff team and the kicks, and has gotten you know, much better on his long field goals. You know, we knew we were right on that border last night. He's really good from 40 to 42 yards. I know you mentioned it earlier. You're talking about kicking a hard, cold ball last night and came up just a little bit short, but he was dead money on the middle.
He was.
We just came up a little bit short on it. So, you know, neat to see him, you know, having this success right now, especially after some, you know, adverse situations earlier in the year, and just coming alive and playing some really good ball for us. You know, special teams for us, because we're not really deep in a lot of places, is situations where we're having to make some substitutions. And, you know, when you can kick it up high like that, you know, which we call like sky kick, as long as you got some good little speedy kids getting down there, they can get down there and cover pretty quick. And I would much rather them have it at the 35 than have it on our side of the 50, you know, giving up a long play. So, and Nathan's doing a good job position kicking. You know, we're looking at some things. Where do we want to kick at? What number do we want to kick to? You know, things like that. It was like last week, you know, with Bryce Meyer sitting back there, we were not going to kick it to him.
Yeah.
You know, we were going to try to keep it away from him, which I think you're not very smart if you do kick it to him. Too good of a player back here.
What I said to Chuck last night is that he's got several clubs in his bag. He can hit that 3-iron, and he can hit that sand wedge too. That's
sure
a big
can.
Deal. You got to put it where you need it to be.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You don't want to have a good touchdown offensively and turn around and give up a big play on a kickoff. You know, and you see that so many times, especially in high school ball. So I think we're doing a pretty solid job there as well.
Back with more in a moment. It's Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Plus, Linen and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Yet painting, you know you want your place all fresh and pretty for the holidays. See Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill and save on Valspar Medallion Paint. There's latex eggshell wall and trim, interior satin latex, semi-gloss interior, and Valspar latex flat wall paint, all sale priced when you buy this month. See Buddy Flynn at Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza on Radio Hill. They have all the accessories for your painting job, too.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, anything under the sun. Guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. They got just about everything at Carolina Pawn and Gun. Now, if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt Uncle Sammy gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Get on over there, son.
Proud sponsors of the Pisgah Bears.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chappell Show. Looking at that score last night from the Smoky Mountain Brevard game, Coach, I think Smoky Mountain was down pretty good there at one point. They ended up scoring 21 unanswered in the second half to end up winning that football game last night, 31-28. A lot of points scored. Just taking a quick look at that box score from last night, doesn't look like there's maybe as much going on in terms of throwing the football. Spear was pretty good, but 21-29 for 195, but you might see a couple guys that maybe can carry the football. A lot of points scored last night between those two teams that have gotten better as the season has progressed. You know, last year we talked about Brevard, as difficult a season as they had, but these two teams are on their way up right now, and I'm sure they'd like to take a shot at us in the next 2 weeks.
I tell you the thing that sticks out in my mind, especially as I look at that box score, you got a college coach that's coaching at Smoky Mountain, and when you're scoring that many points in the second half, it's telling you that he's making some pretty good adjustments at halftime.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably had a lot to do with the 21 points they had in the second half. You know, I'm sure they went in there and found something they liked, made some adjustments, and, you know, that's a sign of a good coach. Coach has been coaching in college for a long time. I mean, he knows how to get some things done at halftime. So, you know, that's a concern. They got a good tailback that's over 1,000 yards. You know, that's a, we haven't seen very many of those this year, but that's a concern that we'll have to address as well. And, you know, Coach Spears' son, Zeb, had a good night throwing the ball last night. Obviously, we know about Jace Wolf, good receiver that he's got out there. I think Zachariah Carter's out there with him as well. So, some pretty good players out wide for him. Hadn't had a chance to see much film on those guys. I'll see some this morning and be able to break them down a little bit. I'm assuming because of the way I have seen Smoky Mountain in the years past, that they're going to have big linemen. They usually do.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get in there and grind on that this morning and see what we got. But, you know, to come back from where they were at last night at halftime and 21, you know, points there in the second half, that's pretty good.
When you get to this point in the year, you always start thinking about, and we're going to start talking about this, I guess, with our broadcast in the next couple of weeks, to start talking about and thinking about what's down the road. This year, I mentioned last night, there's a chance that we see some teams maybe we've never seen before as we bump up from the 2A to the 3A. But when you're looking at those things, how much time have you guys maybe spent in trying to understand exactly how this might play out for us in terms of seeding, in terms of team matchups and so forth? Have you had a chance to think about that and look at that at all?
You know, we have. Each week it's getting a little bit more clear on where we're going to be at. The biggest thing we're waiting on right now is those ADM numbers come out so we can see who's going to be big and who's going to be little in this 3A. Obviously, we're keeping track of some teams that we think are going to be borderline. We watched the High Brighton and Freedom score last night. That was going to be for a conference championship. Freedom came out and beat High Brighton. High Brighton, who was undefeated, you know, in
wow.
that conference, we were thinking might be a possible one seed. Concord won last night, beat West Rowan at West Rowan. That was a big score. Concord sitting there undefeated. South Point, who we think possibly could be small 1A, they won again, so they're undefeated. You know, so there's some good teams that we're kind of keeping an eye on down there. Burns High School, you
right.
know, which I know is little, you know, continues to win. Coach Kiefer's bunch at Central Cabarrus. Those guys have just got one loss right now that are in that mix as well. So there's some teams that are down there that we're just keeping an eye on as these last few weeks play out and, you know, kind of where we think we're going to be at. Obviously, if we can get some of these teams with one losses that are conference champions, then it goes to coin toss type stuff. So we get a better chance at a higher seed. But, you know, right now, if we can finish out, you know, we're going to go in at 9-1. Obviously, we'll be the one seed for the 3A. You know, you're going to go anywhere – we think anywhere from 1 to 6 seed. So, somewhere in there, obviously, you know, it's going to be tough for us to get that one seed, but, you never know.
We are going to, with that situation, you're going to have at least one home playoff game. But you're saying there's still a chance that maybe we have two, maybe three?
There's a possibility, depending on what happens with these teams in the next couple of weeks. You know, like I said, you got about three teams.
And that's just based on seeding. I mean,
right.
somebody could lose and that
absolutely.
Change things. But
yeah, absolutely. Just from what we're looking at, we've got about three teams that are undefeated, you know, right now. But a lot of these teams are getting to the meat of their conference schedule. You know, we felt like we played the maybe the bigger end on the front end of our conference
right.
schedule than rather on the back end. So you're getting some of these teams that are just now getting into, it's like High Brighton and Freedom.
Yeah.
You know, they played Watauga last week, which is a big team in their conference, and, you know, were able to get that win, High Brighton was, but turned around and had to play, you know, Freedom this week.
Right.
So, like I said, those teams are getting into the meat of their schedule a little bit, and it's starting to unfold. But I said, you know, the big thing we're looking at is those numbers, those ADM numbers, and seeing who's going to be big and who's going to be little.
Well, certainly keep an eye on that. I know Chuck and I will talk a little bit about that next week and try to get us an idea of where we might be looking at down the road. It's always an exciting time, and I know everybody looks forward to it. For me, it's my favorite time of the year, so we're excited about that and getting a chance to have those playoff games at home. Certainly be a big deal for us. Pisgah, big winner last night, 35-6 over North Henderson. Chuck and I will be on the air at 6:30 next week at Smoky Mountain with the Black Bear Cafe preview. 7:30 kickoff, then we'll be right back here at 8 o'clock for the Brett Chappell Show next Saturday morning. For Brett Chappell and Frank Bird, this is Chad Upton. Flea Market's next. So long, everybody.
The Brett Chappell Show. Sports talk with Pisgah head football coach Brett Chappell and Chad Upton, voice of the Bears. Live at Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop, Highway 276 Bethel. Brought to you by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Haywood Insurance Services, plus Linen and Uniform Service, and Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. The Brett Chappell Show.